Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. We got a wonderful conversation for you today. Today we're going to talk about, as you know, the White House has been to, and they fly the flags at half staff in support and solidarity with the Tree of Life Synagogue victims in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania over the weekend that were shot by Robert Bowers, a 46-year-old Democrat, big anti-Trump supporter. He's not a Trump supporter at all. He's anti-Trump majorly. And this is just wrong by all stretches of the imagination. Police are also investigating after a Republican headquarters in Volusia County, Florida, was riddled with bullets over this past weekend. Not to mention, you have James Cromwell, who warns of bloodshed in the streets if Democrats do not win the election. Gee, you know, that doesn't sound like conservatives that are all violent, and it sounds like the other way around. I also want to get into the fact that they were actually at the Allegheny General Hospital in Pittsburgh. There were actually Jewish doctors who put aside their feelings to help save the man. I don't know if you heard about this one, but, wow. You know, Hillary Clinton was at a speech, and she talked about how all blacks look alike. That's not racist at all, is it? But, you know, she's actually considering it. It sums up the Democratic Party as a whole, because she wants to be president, but she doesn't see herself running for president, but she won't put it past herself to do it, you know. She wants to be president, but she doesn't plan on running for president, but she could see herself running for president. It may happen, it may not. I mean, who would actually back her? Pay a fortune to have the video footage of the night that she lost the election to Trump. I'm sure she was violent. I'm sure. What would you do if you had $245 million? Well, if you have that much, you can buy a house in the Bel Air enclave of Los Angeles. The 10-acre estate was owned by the late billionaire A. Gerard Piercio, who died in 2017 at the age of 86, and he was the chairman and CEO of the Spanish network Univision. There's an awesome story about a Michigan teacher who invited two former students to join him at a father-daughter dance because their dad died, and that's really cool. Being, you know, having family and stuff in Michigan, that's cool. And also, I want to get into the fun of Jose Mourinho and the never-ending battle with Manchester United and the up and down to the Premier League and Champions League and all that stuff. So welcome to the conversation. I hope you feel a part of it, folks, and I hope you do. And today's verse of the day is Romans 12:21. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. And, you know, I'm one of those people that I put it out there, you know, okay? Let's say you don't think Trump's doing a great job. What are these Democrats doing to make America better if they're not? I mean, they're already showing that a lot of this supposed caravan, some people are taking refuge in Mexico. Some people are saying, screw it, we're going back. Some people are giving up. The walk is just too much, you know. And there's evidence that Trump is actually looking into getting rid of the birthright law. And if you don't know this, there are people that have actually admitted to, hey, we're gonna come from another country to America, and guess what? When we're here, we do it around the time that, hey, a lot of Mexicans have done this, and they they stay until they have birth, and then we pay for the birth, we pay for the baby, we pay for everything. And guess what? Now the baby is legal. And then the family fights to stay here. Well, you know, but because, and technically the kid has dual citizenship, and it, you know, and they basically, you need to go back to Mexico. It's a Mexican citizen, even though, you know, and they try to push themselves. They try to push citizenship. Hey, we're here, you know, and they try to do that. They try to make themselves legal. Hey, my son's legal. Well, you're not, you know, and they're trying to get rid of this right there. All you have to do is be born here and you're a citizen. I'm glad he's getting rid of it. You know, we got to take care of our own people. Nothing against helping others, but if we got homeless vets and we got people struggling in our own country, shouldn't they come before someone else that's not even a U.S. citizen? I mean, I'm just throwing that out there, but I think I would want to help someone that's down on their luck, that's a U.S. citizen. Now, I'm not talking about people that, like, you know, because there's tons of videos out there where people that beg from, oh, I make $40,000 a year just begging on top of my job. I change clothes. I scuff myself up. I go get a free meal somewhere because I'm homeless. And a lot of times when they follow these people that are beggars home, they got three cars and they got all this stuff. They're not homeless. And there's nothing against it. And that's one of the big issues. Because, yeah, you want to help people out, but, I mean, if you want to help someone out, you want to make sure you're helping out the right people. Hello, you there? Can you hear me? If you can hear me and you want to talk, go ahead and chime in, but I'm going to keep going. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, we need to help our own people, our own citizens. And, it's like we're expected to help these, like, oh, here's open borders. Let's just let anyone in, and we're just going to magically help them. Where's this money coming from? If we got homeless vets that we can't take care of, how are we expected to take care of all these migrants that just want to come here? And that, I remember I watched a video and they had all these people like, well, will you take these people in? And it's hilarious because everyone that they ask would, oh, well, my husband is a conservative. He would never want them. You know, not one person. I think, like, one person out of, like, 20 that they interviewed would take him in. Everyone else is like, well, yeah, well, my husband's a conservative. He wouldn't do that. You know, it's just funny. But that's kind of... that's kind of how this cookie crumbles. You know, it's like, I think people are starting to wake up to, hey, how are we going to take care of all these thousands of people that most don't even want to be here? I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. I've had a couple people trying to call in, but I can't hear them, so I don't know. But it's crazy. You know, and there's so much, and with this synagogue shooting, and how, I mean, the liberal left is losing their mind because they don't know how to deal with it. How do you deal with this? Okay, it's a Democrat that shot these people up. Well, they're like mixed whether or not he should be here or should he be at a synagogue and all this stuff. I'm like, we need to come together. Remember 9/11 when the towers came down and everyone was helping everyone and no one cared? Religion, color never mattered. I remember 9/11 because I took my flag and I put my flag out. And everyone's like, you couldn't buy a flag. They were like almost impossible to get, but I had one. Hello, you there?
Yeah.
Would you like to comment?
Sorry? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you say about the shooting in Pennsylvania?
I think it's a heinous act. It's sad. It's sad. It's that we're going down this path. It is the most heinous anti-Semitic act in this nation's history. It's wrong. I mean, I remember when 9/11 happened and everyone came together. And it didn't matter what color you were. It didn't matter what religion you were. Everybody helped everybody. Everyone was there for everybody. And now...
So why are there no politicians supporting the president's visit to Pennsylvania? And nobody came out to greet him. And where he invited to come with him, no one took the invitation.
The problem, I think, is if you saw an interview with Sarah Huckabee Sanders when she was doing a White House press briefing, she basically was like, the left, the liberal media can't say one good thing about Trump. They can't, no matter
no,
what
but
he
I
does.
Know that I know that the President Trump invited two politicians from the Republicans, Paul Ryan and the other one, and then he invited Nancy Pelosi and Schumer, and nobody came, and all the mayor of Pennsylvania, nobody came to greet him, nobody, none of the politicians. Isn't it a bad time for the midterm election?
At least I live in Indiana, and where I am, my mom and dad waited like an hour plus to wait. Most of the people where I'm from have already voted. I've known so many people that have already voted. So, I mean, like, and the problem I see is with this is if he, I don't think Trump cares whether they came or not. He's had, this is what I said I'm going to do, and he's the first person that, in my opinion, can actually say, here's the 10 things I said I was going to do, and I've done them. And most people can't stand that fact because they're used to...
Do you really think that Trump's going to win the midterm election for the Republican?
You mean for the... He's not running in the midterms.
I know, but I'm saying the Republicans. You think he'll keep the Congress?
I have a ton of friends.
The polls are showing that the Democrats have a very, very, very good chance to get at least a small win on the Congress, and some even say even a big majority.
I have five friends that were lifelong Democrats that ever since this Antifa and this Black Lives Matter and all this stuff and what they've done to President Trump, they could never vote Democrat. They never will ever again. And they're just fed up with it. They say, well, okay, if Trump's not doing the right things, okay, I could see if you disagree with Trump, well, then what is shooting up a GOP office headquarters, a Republican headquarters in Florida? How is that solving anything? How is that making America better if you don't think
so
he's
why,
doing the right
why,
thing?
Why are all the polls showing at least average of like 4 or 5% for most of the states where the votes the Democrats have at least 4 or 5% of a higher chance to win. It's easy.
It's the exact same reason why when Trump was running for president, who do you think has the best chance of winning the Republican nomination? Trump. Everyone laughed at him.
But Trump didn't have to win nationwide, even though he was a few points behind Hillary Clinton nationwide. It didn't really make a difference. But in the state that he won, not all of them, but a lot of them, the polls said that he was very strong there or the tie. And there were a few states where there were a few points off. But in general, the poll, it was very similar to the poll. The only thing was that the media went with more with the nationwide, and that's how they gave their predictions. Instead of looking at each state by itself and seeing how many of the states that Trump won, they all said that it's going to be like it's very tight in those states, and they made a mistake. They did the wrong calculation. what they call the electoral college. They didn't really, they made their own calculation. But from where they were coming from nationwide, Trump definitely didn't win nationwide. But the states that he did want to win the electoral college, he the poll said that he's going to win there. If you look at the states, you know, if a few states are a few points off.
If you watch the Young Turks, at the beginning of the night were like, "Oh, Hillary's going to win in a landslide. Trump's not even going to get one. You know, he's not going to get nobody." And then, "Oh, well, I don't see an effing landslide here. I could see Hillary winning, but she's going to barely win. Not the landslide that we've been told to believe that she's going to get." And I think it's the same thing here. Everyone says, "Oh, well, the Republicans are not going to. They're going to lose so much." And I think when it's all said and done, it's probably going to stay the same. We may gain a few seats, we may lose a few seats, but I don't think it's going to be...
I don't know, but I think that here, when you go state by state, and you see how tight, even the red states, a lot of them, even Texas, you know, at least Senator Ted Cruz caught up a little, but it was very tight over there, and even the 5 points that he has over his opponent. But that for a red state, that's not so good. That's very tight. And then if you all over the country, you see so many states that even the red ones, and especially the ones that are to neutral states, it's looking very good for the Democrats. Looking really good for them.
Well, I'll have to wait and see.
My personal feeling is that I would love the Republicans to get control of Congress and Senate because you're voting for a party that it has proved to do. You know, Trump's done the last 2 years, whether you agree with everything he does or you disagree or you agree with some things, you know, you take out the good things. He's done the last 2 years what presidents do in 10 years, you know. He did in two years so much. It's amazing. So, and then it's coming with a message to the country. I'm doing immigration policy. I have you know, jobs, the economy. He's coming with policies, with a strong message to the nation, and unemployment is unbelievable. 3.7% is the lowest it's been in years, and you will really see a difference in the economy. But on the other hand, the Democrats, they're not really, there's no message. The media is just saying no Trump, no Trump, no Trump, and they don't have any message. The healthcare, there's no policies. It's just giving the whole country healthcare. Besides for that. They have no. They're not talking about the economy. They have no immigration policies. You know, talking about the caravan. We have proof. The American officials have proof that there's criminals in this whole these thousands of people that are coming illegally into America. You know, all of us know that America lets in immigrants, but in a legal manner. You come to the border, you have to wait your turn, and then we let you in if everything is okay and everything, you know, a good background. But then if you're a criminal and you want to get into America without going through the process, or you just want to do it easy, there's no such a thing. No country lets an illegal immigrant. No first-class country lets an illegal immigrant.
Yep.
You know, me as being a Jew, our grandparents came after the war. They were thrown out of their homes in the whole of Europe. Millions of people were killed. And a few thousand... 200,000 that survived and wanted to come to America to begin their lives again, they stood in Ellis Island for days to come in legally. No country takes an illegal immigrant, and especially when we have proof that there's a lot of criminals there. And why are the Democrats saying that why aren't they? They're just saying that Trump's not letting in the immigrants and all of that. But there's no solution. They have no solution. Just saying, never, never Trump. You know, let America go down the drain, but Trump shouldn't be president.
Yeah.
So I personally believe that the Republicans should win the House, the Senate, House, because they're the ones that come with the message. They're the ones that have proved to do what to do good for the country. And you know, Obama's first time in a few years, a few months in office, the unemployment was 10%. You know, when Trump came in, I can't remember, it was 6 or 7%, but it went down to 3%. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. That's just proof that there's so many new businesses and so many new social, new more opportunities. So I personally would much rather that the Republicans 2007. I think Trump will do an amazing job if he reassures the Senate and Congress for him, and will have an easy win in 2020. But if the Democrats are going to win the House and the Congress, at least the House, you know what's going to be every day. You're going to disturb President Trump. There'll be impeachment plans every day, impeachment, impeachment. It's going to become chaos. You know, but on the other hand, you know, if the Republicans win, they'll be great. But if the Democrats win, maybe it's time the Democrats should win, and they'll be busy with political abuse and political, you know, they'll be busy with impeaching. And then what will happen? That the last few Democrats that still believe in their party, they might open their eyes eventually and see that the whole Democratic Party is just busy impeaching and political violence and all of this. So even if they win, I think that in the end, you know, in the long term, the Republicans will win either now or they'll eventually win, because if the Democrats win, they'll just prove for themselves, they'll prove for the country what they're all about. No policies, no making America great. They're just all about non-Republican and non. For example, last year when there was a shooting in the sports event there where there was all the senators, and the Bernie Sanders supporter came in and shot the whole, he shot at the senators, and one of them was injured very, very badly. Do you remember?
Yep.
So then, you know, a lot of the Republicans came out and said, in support of Bernie Sanders, in support of their opponent, that he's not liable for all of this. What he said at his rallies and at his gatherings is one thing, but then it's another thing to go and do political violence. And they said that you can't hold him accountable. That's what the Republicans said then. And you see that now with all these bombing packages that arrived at all the Democrats, what's the media saying? What are the Democrats saying? That Trump is liable, and nobody got hurt.
No.
Yes, from the first day Trump did, he didn't know what he was doing. From the first day he said that we're gonna prosecute with the most harsh, all the way the person that's doing this, and from the whole spectrum, the whole Republican Party, they were all saying statements against this. And then eventually when they found out that sadly he was a Trump supporter, so instead of going and saying that Trump is not liable when somebody does on his own hand, you know, it's one thing to say something by rally, but then it's one thing to go and do it, to go and do something on your own hand, then suddenly Trump is liable. So you see that the Democrats are just full of, they're not here to work together. It's very sad. You know, Trump was calling for the country to gather and to unite. And their message is no Trump.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even giving him a chance. But we all know that he's doing amazing things. How can you take away credit from the economy? It doesn't make sense. You know, it's irrational. You have a president that he's been 2 years president. The economy is booming. Unemployment has been the best in many years. You know, amazing policies, and you can't give him any credit. There's nothing good to say about him. The media is just busy with.
Well, one of the issues I have where I work is we were an early voting place where you could go and you could vote early. And when I went to take 5 minutes to vote, this girl came up to me. She's out of high school, and she goes, "You went to vote early? Vote for what?" I said, "It's early voting for the midterm elections." Midterm elections for? She didn't know what voting was. What we were voting for? I'm like, "This is where you vote the congressmen and senators in. This is where you vote for the sheriff, and this is where you vote for like different judges and." Like county councilman. She had no clue. I'm like, what have they taught you in school if you don't know what a midterm election is?
Yeah, well, it's really sad because most of the colleges to all very liberal and very all Democrats, and it's very sad what they're being taught. You know, you see the younger generation. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but if the Republicans will win the House and the Senate, and Trump can continue doing his amazing work, then we might see a bit of a comeback. We might see America going back on the tracks. You know?
Yep.
It could happen. It really could happen. That's what we hope for. That's what we pray for. That America should go back on the tracks. You know, we should at least have the freedom, have a majority of you know, the normal basic principles in life. People that believe in peace, people that believe in, you know, respect everybody. And on the other hand, we should have you know, dignified neighborhoods and streets. You know, if people feel that they have issues and that they have people have, you know, certain beliefs or certain, they feel a certain way, well, you can do anything but just do it within your own, you know, just keep it quiet. You know, and this way we have the streets clean, the streets are normal, the way they were since the world was created. But then if you think that the world has changed and people are changing and people, you know, all this LGBT, whatever. Okay, you can do whatever you like. Just keep it to yourself. On the other hand, the liberals believe that we have to, you know, change the whole world. So us people that we believe we're normal, that we have excuse me.
Okay. He'll be right back, folks. But what he's saying is true. But, like, what I want to get his opinion on is, like, after James Cromwell warns of blood in the streets if Democrats don't win the election. The Democrats are shooting themselves in the foot without having an identity. This is what we stand for. This is what we believe. Oh, if we don't get our way, we're just going to shoot until what's your way?
Hello?
Yeah.
You know, but then you have the liberals that they believe that everything, you know, should be public everything should be legalized and that's you know, I understand where they're coming from. I understand. But on the other hand, you know, you're sticking up for the minorities, trying to change the world and do things against the basic principles we have, you know, either religious principles or just humanity. Well, by the way, we see it. You know, we are the people. We are to have a say, and by legalizing things and by ecstasy and all these activists and going out there and doing all this stuff, they're actually changing our streets. They're changing our country. You know, and why don't you look at our side? Why are you always busy with the minority? You know, we believe keep the streets the way they are. Keep the laws the way they are. If you have an issue, if you feel that you're different or that, you know, you're normal, so do what you have to do. But by you coming and saying you want to feel comfortable, we have to accept everything and let everybody do whatever they like, you're making us uncomfortable, you know? Why should we feel uncomfortable?
I agree.
We're not forcing our religion or our belief on you. We're just saying just keep the streets and keep the country the way it was. And then when you go home and when you go to your place, do whatever you like. Instead of pushing everything on public, you know, and running around the streets and activating for all these things. Yeah, you feel comfortable. But what about us majority? We feel uncomfortable. And what about all the thousands and hundreds of thousands of religious Christians and Muslims and, you know, you have the Jews, the religious Jews in America and in the U.S., You can't push your agenda onto everybody else. You can't force us to go through this.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, you send your kids to public school, you want them to learn about real marriage and real husband and wife. And, you know, how can you enforce in all the books all this crazy, you know, I'm saying crazy because I don't believe in all this LGBT. If you've got an issue, keep it to yourself. Why are the liberals pushing? They're pushing this minority, this whole thing on the country. They want to change us. We don't want to change them. You can stay the way you are. Just don't come out and change what we, how the world was thousands of years. You know what I mean?
Yep. I talked about this about a year ago about a Democrat lady that was all in favor of these transgender bathrooms until a guy walked into the bathroom in the women's restroom while she was in there. Didn't look like a woman. He just had jeans on and a t-shirt and a hat on. Didn't try to pretend he's a woman. Didn't try to look like a woman. And she flipped out. She goes, oh, I thought the transgender bathroom, you had to be a, you had to think you're, you know, she was expecting to see people coming in here that may have been born a man, but they dressed like a woman. And when she found out that all you have to do is think you're a man and you can go into the women's restroom, or if you think you're a woman, you can go into the, you can go in either bathroom as long as you think you're that gender.
Yeah, this is absurd. This is crazy. If we don't wake up now, it's going to be chaos, this country. This is absurd. And this is why we need Republicans just to put things on the tracks, you know, just to get things normal. This is crazy. Same gender bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enforcing your it's not even a belief. It's sad. It's sickening. And you want to feel comfortable, so you're going to make the majority uncomfortable. It doesn't even make sense. You know, they, you can't change me. You can't change me. I want to change you. How can you change me?
Yep.
You know, they passed the law in New York that the parents can write on the kid undesignated. You know, this is crazy. This is crazy. You're telling your child you're undesignated? Oh, I don't believe it.
Oh, no.
I think we should pray for the you know, for the comeback. But the
exactly.
Turnaround. The turnaround.
So what do you think?
Turnaround.
So what do you think about people like actor James Cromwell that warns that there's going to be blood in the streets if Democrats don't win the election and don't get the House and Senate back? And if the Democrats don't win in the primaries in this midterm election, we're going to go to the streets and we're going to start violence and we're going to riot. And
who
so that's
says
not
a Democrat?
Yeah. He's a Democratic actor. He's a very liberal actor. And
this is shocking. This is the shocking. We can't do this. We have to unite. We have to understand everybody. And, you know, we have to do things without any political motivation. And you know, but my point is that for the moment, the majority of the USA, you know, wants the country to be like it was the last few thousands of years. This, say, 10, 15, 20, 30% of liberals that believe in all these crazy things, you know, they're the minority. We respect them. But they can't change us. You know, they can do whatever they like as long as it's in with their circles. You know what I mean?
Yep, exactly.
We don't believe in enforcing our beliefs on other people, but we do believe that we have to keep society normal. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's going to ruin the whole country. You know, that's the truth. A lot of these people believe in commonness. They believe in just, you know, everybody the same. There's no rich, there's no poor, there's nothing, you know, a lot of these people. But that's what they want, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, my wife got a letter in the post that you know, transgender and Medicaid going to pay for it. So I'm working, I'm paying tax. Why? Because so you're forcing on me to support your things that I believe are ruining society. You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, we have to change this. You know, the Republicans have to put the feet down for that and turn things back. You know what I mean?
Yep.
No, it's one thing to legalize, to let people do whatever they want behind closed doors. That's one thing. But then they're forcing it on the country, on the people. I pay tax, so you can do things that I believe are ruining society, let alone against my religion.
Yep.
This is a free country. This is free speech. You know, the government's paying for the low income, food stamps, and Medicaid. I can understand that. We're a democratic country. I understand to an extent. Yes, we have to support, you know, our fellow citizen. But paying for all these crazy things, that's not something we should be forced to pay for.
Nope. It's like that judge that awarded like $780,000 to a lady because her insurance refused to pay for her reassignment surgery so she could be the man she's always wanted. It's crazy.
And we're working away to pay for this. I don't understand what people think. You know, that's why I hope, you know, control. And I believe that even if they do lose, you know, I'll be upset, but not too upset, because I think it'll be a good thing for the Republicans, that Democrats, you know, will show the country who they are. And so we're busy with impeachments and political fighting, and then eventually in the long run, the Republicans will have it. That's what I believe. I think people are not so stupid. This country is waking up. You know, Trump's working on it, working hard, waking up the people, waking them up.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? That Trump isn't even such a conservative. He's very, 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 very. He's very, how do you call it? He's very, it's like, I don't know what the word is, but like in between, you know?
Yeah. He's like
he's
a middle of
mild.
The road.
Yeah, he's very mild, you know. He's not conservative. He says he's not really religious. But on the other hand, he has very strong beliefs, and he has very strong respect for the country, for the people of the country. And he says it the way it is. You know, some things just have to be said, and he says it, you know. I know people don't want to hear it, but he has to say it the way it is.
Yep.
You would think that, you know, if they go against Trump by like Senator Ted Cruz, which I think is amazing, but you would think that then maybe the liberals would be against him because he's a very conservative. But we voted in Trump. Trump is not so conservative, so why so against him?
Yeah.
So that's the answer. If you're looking for unity, you're looking to unite the country, then you'll be able to see through Trump and understand that he's doing a lot of good things and that he's not such a conservative. But if you're so against him, that just means that you're not ready to unite. You're not ready to sit down, you know, together and fix this country.
Exactly. I mean, it's sad that Jeffrey Myers, the Pittsburgh rabbi, who said that Trump is welcome at the synagogue, has been getting hate mail. Jeffrey Myers, the Pittsburgh rabbi, he welcomed Trump with open arms, and when he announced that he was welcoming Trump, he was getting hate mail because of it.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Very sad, yeah.
I mean, we should unite as a nation of all beliefs in a tragedy like this, and it's just sad that, okay, well, you can believe, like, I'll support you as long as you believe as I do, as a socialist liberal. You can go to UC Berkeley and speak if you're a socialist liberal. We support free speech if you're going to be progressive and be a socialist liberal speaker. But if you're a conservative, we don't want to hear you. But you have the right to, you know, they want to shove their beliefs down our throat. But I respect that you're gay. I respect that you're lesbian. But, you know, I'm not forcing you for my beliefs, don't force me into your beliefs. Like, they have to do it in public.
That's what I'm saying. This is not normal. You know, and if we don't put a foot down, then the whole world is going to change. And you see, the statistics show when things become legal, it rapidly grows. And that just comes to say that this country is going to become nuts. And you cannot run a country like this when people have all these crazy ideas. As long as it's a minority is done behind the doors, you know, we can't force you, but the country stays normal. As soon as these progressives and liberals are going to have some sort of political force in Washington, the country is going to get down the drain.
Yeah.
And I think this is what Trump believes. I think Trump is not here to enforce, you know, to push his beliefs onto the country. I think he's here just to keep things good, to make things good again.
Yeah.
You know, part of making America great again is respecting all kinds of people. But that doesn't mean that we're giving the chance for the liberals to push their agendas onto our younger generation, our children, our schools. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If you feel uncomfortable, I don't understand. Why are they pushing their agendas and their beliefs into our schools and onto the younger generation? What's their problem? What's going on? You feel uncomfortable? Go for help. See a psychologist. Maybe they can put you back on track. But you feel uncomfortable, you become an activist, and you know, by signing on a child's birth certificate undesignated, in my eyes, you're abusing your child. Because they're female or male, it's a fact. You want to say they can change? Okay. So they'll get older and they'll decide. But you're going to decide for them? You're going to give them crazy ideas? Maybe try to bring them up healthy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So then what did they say? That no, healthy means that you decide when you're 18 years old what you want to be. This is nonsense. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I never thought I would see a day in my life where, okay, wait a minute, no, I believe I'm a giraffe. You're offending me. I should be able to have other on the application so I can put in I'm a giraffe.
I've
made that decision. I'm 18.
My friend told me that he applied for some government program, Section 8 or something, and he did the adult, you know, the household holders. And then there was no option for children. It was younger adults and older adults. It's crazy.
Yep. Well, he just hung up my caller, but if he gets back on, we'll get him back on. But it's sad that we live in this world where, okay, when you're turning 18, you choose what you are. You know, am I a man? Am I a woman? Am I... You know, I mean, I don't have sex with my wife in public, but, you know, it's like they push. I have gay friends, I have lesbian friends, but they keep it in the bedroom where it should be. You know, and that's kind of where it should be. I want to get into this really quickly while I got a little bit of time. What would you do? Crazy. America's, what would you do if you had $245 million? I'd do a lot. I wouldn't be buying no house. But the ex-CEO of the Spanish language network Univision, a Gerard Prinicio, who died in 2017, his mansion is up for sale. The 10-acre plush estate at the Bel Air Enclave in Los Angeles is going for a reported $245 million. Yes, you heard me right, $245 million. Gee, I could have a $250,000 home and live posh on the rest of the money and invest it. I couldn't imagine having that kind of money. That's crazy. I'd hate to know the electricity. I don't know, man. That's just nuts to think. And it's probably all, like, custom, you know, flown in marble from Italy and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, it's just one of those things that we... I remember I thought it was expensive when the house that Jerry Garcia lived in when he died, you know, when he was in his final years of his life, it went for like $13 million or whatever. I'm like, I'd die to have that house just because, you know, but it's in California, so that would be a big deterrent, but hey. But it's one of those things, you know, hey, guess what, folks? As you look into this world we live in, you know, that's a big issue. I mean, we had a Florida GOP headquarters that was hit by bullets, and you know, that's how Democrats want you. And you know, and change this world. You know, we want to make the world better, and so do they. But guess what? One wants to actually do something, the other people are just living life. You know, we're trying to live life and do what we do and live like we do, and you have people in this world that, oh, we're going to bomb a place and, hey, we're going to say that it's just one of those things. I mean, this is another thing I wanted to bring up. Proposition 12 in California would ban the sale of eggs in California that come from hens raised in small cages. And would do the same for pigs and calves. Okay? They got all kinds of problems going around, but if Prop 12 passes, you'll be able to get eggs that are not cage-free. Now, cage-free are, it's at least they're not going into cages, at least, but still, you have a tin area and you put a million chickens in there on top of each other. Guess what? It's cage-free. See, when people think of cage-free, they think of, oh, wonderful, free. They think of what you would call free range, where they're just out in the middle of nowhere. It's like one of my friends called up Purdue chickens. Well, how can you guarantee a vegetarian diet? How do you keep them from eating bugs? Well, we can't keep them from eating bugs. What we feed them is vegetarian. What they eat outside of what we feed them is out of our control. See, it's just one of those play of words where they try to make it, oh, guess what? It's cage-free. That don't mean, you know, take a 10-by-10 area and put a million chickens in there. Guess what? They're cage-free. They might be 25 birds high on top of each other, crapping and pooping and, you know what, defecating on each other. But guess what? Hey. And that was brought to you by National Vegan Day. So, hey, vegan up, dude. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the conversation, and I hope you feel a part of, and I really hope you do. And it's just, I think if they try to bring blood to the streets with like what James Cromwell suggests. See, this is what's going on, and this is what people don't realize. They started to transform America with Obama, and they couldn't continue the transformation with Hillary Clinton because she didn't get in, so they got to still try to keep the transformation going. They still got to change. The Democratic Party is the one that's keeping and trying to divide this nation, not us. They talk about Trump and all these anti-this and anti-that. The liberals are the one that are anti-everything. I'm glad you're a liberal. I'm glad you are, but I have a voice too, and we will be heard. And what are you gonna? Yeah, there's gonna be blood in the streets when you have girls dressed up like vaginas, trying to wearing camo with handguns, and you're trying to come to the streets wearing just like a vagina. Yeah, he's gonna win that one. For you to fight, we made you laser blazers. Yeah, they're out of Qualitex balloons. There you go. You can pew with that. Someone just, you know, they have no message, and that's why they're slowly falling apart. They need to come together and say, hey, you know what, this just saying Trump sucks isn't working. You know, people are seeing through it. There is a huge leave the left movement where there's tons of blacks saying, no, we're done. I'm not better off. You know, there are finally black people starting to wake up. Hey, guess what? We're not better off under Democrat leadership. And you think about it like in this way, too. Before I get into the Premier League here, I got a few seconds. And I just want to say this. Look at Detroit. You know, hey, there was an actor, I forget who it was a Democrat, that said, I voted for Trump because he was the first person to talk about helping the minorities. Helping. You know, we need to stand with our Jewish brothers and sisters. What does it say above the cross that Jesus was crucified on? King of the Jews. We have more in common than we have alike. And I will stand with my Jewish brothers and sisters just like I would a Christian brother and sister. Everyone at that Tree of Life synagogue, please pray for them. They need it bad. But if Hillary Clinton does try to run again, guess what? It's going to be same old, because they got nothing new. Yes, as many of you know, my wife, as I move on, is an Everton fan, and I'm a United fan. And, of course, you know, United won over Everton this weekend. It was great. Got to rub it in, but at that, there's people talking like, well, what do you think? Okay, we're in eighth place. And I think they will keep Mourinho as long as it's mathematically possible for us to stay in the Champions League. The owners of the team, they're basically, they want to be, as long as they can keep us, as long as they can get us, as long as we're mathematically eligible for the Champions League, I think they'll keep Mourinho. Unless he decides to leave. As long as we're mathematically eligible to be in the Premier League, they'll keep him, they'll take him. I mean, I don't understand the progress where I feel like, hey, we're making progress, then we lose. Then I feel like we're making progress, then we lose. This up and down, the consistent consistency is what's killing us. You know, I mean, I want someone that's going to be consistent. I'd rather be a fourth place team and play consistent football and say, how do we take this consistent football and win instead of, okay, how can we lose this game when we dominated that game? Okay, we dominated against a team that should have blown us out of the water. Okay, we beat Man City. We should have lost to Man City by 20 goals, and we beat them. But then we got beat by Huddersfield. And then we lost to Cardiff City. We beat Man City and Liverpool, but then we lost to Cardiff City and Newcastle United. Kind of like examples. This beating teams that we should lose to and losing the teams we should beat, you know, something's got to change. And I can see Jose Mourinho, if he stays to the end of the year, if he doesn't get any money in the January transfer window, you know he's gone. And I could see them getting, like, in the end of the season, even if we wanted to go out to Pochettino, which I could see them doing. I'd have no problem with Pochettino as manager. But it's going to be till spring until the end of the season before we get him. But that's okay. I mean, that's okay. But this up and down, beating teams that we should get blown away by and losing to teams that we should win handily. Worst of word, consistently inconsistent. I'd rather be an Everton or a Tottenham where you're consistent week in and week out. Yeah, it's that one game in the five that we'll lose. We'll win one, you know. I mean, as long as we're in striking distance, as long as we're mathematically eligible for the Champions League, we are going to be there. You know, I mean, it's just crazy, you know. But I think that's the owners, and they're about money and. I'm gonna see if I can find that article. There's an article that, as many of you know, what's the article? I thought I shared it. Maybe I didn't. But it was. It's gotta be down here. But as many of you know, Ed Carpenter Racing and Fuzzy Zola Vodka have parted ways. They're not going to be a sponsor. I think Ed Carpenter Racing and Fuzzy Zola Vodka partnership ends after 7 years. Which, you know, I mean, just like when Chip Ganassi, Target Racing, when they finally split, hey, they've made their money. They got their name out there. Because I remember when a 100th anniversary bottle of vodka, one place down the road from us had 6 bottles that got in and they were instantly bought, you know. And it's like, you know, I was going to get it to drink the vodka just because I can drink it and it's gluten-free, but I don't drink that much hardly anymore. So, but it was just one of those things that, you know, I'm interested to find out what happens, what's going to happen with NASCAR and all that stuff. And, you know, sports I love so much are going in the toilet and stuff. And, you know, I see things going in the toilet and my country is one of them. And I want to see something change. And that's why we voted Trump, because we were seeing our country go in the toilet. And we didn't want that. And that's why we elected Trump. And got about 90 seconds left. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you are around the world. Thank you. And please, please, please keep the Tree of Life Synagogue in your prayers and thoughts. Please keep the prayers and thoughts of all the victims of all the hurricanes recently, because it could have been a year since the hurricane, but they're still probably dealing with the aftermath. So thank you so much for tuning into the program, and I hope you feel a part of, folks, and get out and do something. Educate people. Tell them, you know, because I think we need to have education. We need to turn this country around and be prepared, because, I mean, they may want blood in the streets, and we got to make sure that we're against that by all costs. Because until we get in, they can't change the country that way. They got to change it another way. So that's about almost all the time I have until this Thursday. Remember, with a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Till this Thursday, good night, and God bless all. Goodbye.